Turn to Revelation chapter 10, and we want to look at when this occurs. Revelation chapter 10, and notice what it says there in Revelation 10. Now, we see in Revelation chapter 10 that a mighty angel came down from heaven clothed with a cloud, a rainbow. He shined like the sun. He had one foot on the sea, one foot on the land. He had a little book open in his hand. He cried in verse 3 with a loud voice as a lion roars and seven thunders uttered their voices when he did all of that. And who is this mighty angel that descends and he puts one foot on the earth, one on the sea, and then he swears that time shall be no longer? Revelation 10:6. Brother Eddie, who is that?
That would be Jesus Christ.
Exactly. We studied that last week. That is deity. That is God come in the flesh, Jesus Christ, and he's coming back now to the earth, and he comes back and he takes this large scroll, and number two, the Lord who takes this scroll, when does he come back and touch down on the earth? What period of time is this when this Lord Jesus comes back and actually touches down on the earth? Anybody know when this is? Kimmy, do you know? Oh, very good, Kimmy. It's after the 7 years called Daniel's 70th week. It's right after that's all over. And then the Lord comes back to the earth. Why is that? Well, because before the Lord takes over the earth and reigns over this earth, there has to be 7 more years for God to chasten his chosen nation, Israel. And after those 7 years, they will be able to be saved. God will remove the blindness from their eyes and they'll recognize their Messiah and they'll be saved. And when they get saved, then God can bring his kingdom to this earth. And so that's why Christ touches down. He touches down to take over the earth. And he doesn't do it till after the 7 years are over. All right, so that's very important that we see that this is Jesus coming, that he's coming at the end of the 7 years, and that he's coming to take over the earth. Now, it also says that he has a scroll in his hand. I want you to notice that. It says that he has a scroll in his hand. What verse is that in Revelation chapter 10? It's actually a little book, but it translates a little book, but it's actually a scroll, literally. Cynthia?
Chapter 10, verse 2.
Very good. Chapter 10, verse 2. He, Jesus, has in his hand this little book. And what does this little scroll contain? It has something in it that when it's opened up, it contains something. What is that little scroll? What does it contain? Anybody know? Raise your hand if you know. What's in that little scroll? Quickly. Anybody know? Okay, that little scroll has the final punishment of God upon the earth, the final wrath of God upon the earth that will be poured out upon the earth after the 7 years is over. And it will be poured out upon the earth after the 7 years is over. Does anybody know how many days after the 7 years that Daniel chapter 12 and verse 11 tells us it will take for the Lord, once he touches down, to finish all the final wrath of God and to reclaim the earth and complete the battle of Armageddon, which will destroy the beast and the Antichrist. Cynthia, how long?
Is it 30 days?
Yes, Daniel chapter 12, verse 11 says it's 30 days. Because from the middle of the 7 years till the end is 1260 days. But Daniel 12, 11 says there'll be 1290 days. There's 30 extra days. And so here in chapter 10, when Christ touches down upon the earth, we're seeing the beginning of those days. Now, if you have your notes, we're going to look at those notes now, and I want you to see what is going to happen on those first days once Christ touches down upon the earth. Now, as you're looking at your notes, let me ask you a question, and those of you that have been in this class, you'll be able to answer that maybe. When Christ comes back to the earth and he touches down physically on the earth, where does he touch down? What place? Just give me a place. Where does he touch down first on the earth? Right at the end of the 7 years. Mary?
Would it be in Jordan?
Would it be in Jordan? How many agree with that, that it would be in Jordan? You're absolutely right. Most people think he would touch down in Jerusalem, but he's going to touch down in the country of modern-day Jordan. It's called in the Bible Edom. Why do you think he touches down there, Cynthia?
When they went into hiding, they went into hiding there in the caves.
In the caves of Jordan, in the city of Petra, in that area, in the wilderness of Jordan. That's south and east of Jerusalem. They're going to flee there. So listen, in the middle of the 7 years, when the Antichrist goes into the temple, sets up the image of the beast in the temple, there's going to be a great persecution, the greatest persecution in the history of the world, greater than Hitler's Holocaust. And the Jews that know what's going on, they're going to run and hide in Jordan. And so when the Lord comes back 3.5 years later, after he goes into the temple, the beast, the Antichrist, he is going to come back to Jordan and take his people out of hiding. And then he is going to start a hike from Jordan northward up along the Jordan River on the east bank of the Jordan. He's going to go northward and he's going to take his people that have been hiding in Jordan out of hiding. He's going to take the 144,000. They're going to follow him. And they're going to go on a 2-day hike up toward Jerusalem. And as they're hiking, he'll find other Jewish people that have been hiding in Judea, because some of them will be hiding in Judea. And some of them during the day of the Lord have fought back against the Antichrist and against the beast and their forces. And he'll get them, and they'll follow in line with him. And then there'll be people coming from Assyria. There'll be people coming from Egypt that are Jewish people that'll come out of hiding, and they'll join that procession. So you're going to have a large procession as the Lord marches toward Jerusalem, and it'll take him 2 days to hike along that way. Now, on the third day, let's go on our notes to day three. On the third day, the Bible says that he is going to hike up toward Jerusalem, and something is going to happen on the third day. And I want you to see that, what's going to happen on the third day when the Lord hikes up toward Jerusalem. Does anybody know what is going to happen on the third day when the Lord hikes up toward Jerusalem? What's going to happen? Brother Eddie?
The Jewish people would accept Jesus Christ.
That's right. The Jewish people are going to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they're going to recognize who He is. By the way, take your Bible and look at Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, and you see a scripture being fulfilled when and these Jewish people that have marched with Jesus are going to recognize that He's the Messiah and repent of their rejection of Him and accept Him as Messiah. Look at Zechariah. By the way, that's the second to the last book of the Old Testament, just before Malachi. Zechariah 12, verse 10. And I'll read it, you follow. Look what it says there. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him. They shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Now, when the Lord touches their heart by His Spirit, and they recognize what they've done, what's going to be their response according to that verse? How are these people going to respond? Mary? Their hearts are going to be changed. They're going to cry. They're going to realize how foolish they've been to reject the Lord as their Messiah. And they're going to accept Him. And it's going to be a time of wonderful change in them. Now, by the way, these are the Jewish people in Israel. How many of the people that are living in Israel now will survive and then accept Him as their Messiah at this time? By the way, this will be the third day after the seventh week. Yes?
144,000?
Well, the 144,000 are a remnant of this group. They're a special remnant, but there's more than 144,000. Yes, Denny?
A third.
A third of the whole nation. And there are now maybe, I don't know, 7-8 million people in Israel. I'm not exact sure of the number, but there'll be a third of them that are living there at the beginning of the 7 years that will survive it, and they'll be saved. 144,000 will be part of that group, a special part of that group that will be hidden in Jordan as well. And so the Bible says that they'll all be saved. Isn't it great? God has it planned just when you're going to get saved. God has it planned, the time and the place, and He's in control of everything. We serve God. We do things that God wants us to do, but nothing's by accident. Nothing is by chance. And I had a chance to talk to some of you here this week, and I know our meetings together had a reason. It had a purpose. You're here this morning. It has a reason. It has a purpose. God has everything down to a schedule. He is not surprised by anything the devil throws at Him. He knows everything. Even though Satan's doing his best to fight God, he can never beat God. Even when he moved Judas to betray the Lord, he was fulfilling God's plan, who had Jesus to be crucified for our sins. God has it over the devil. And let that be an encouragement to you that Jesus is coming back. Nothing can stop it. He is going to come back at the end of the 7 years, and He is going to march with His people 3 days, and on the third day in Jerusalem, they will understand who He is and recognize Him and cry and mourn and accept Him as their Messiah, and they'll be saved and their hearts will be changed. That's all going to happen on the third day. By the way, that's in Hosea chapter 6 as well. It says that that will be the third day after the 70th week that they get saved. Now, I want you to notice, though, day 4. And go back to your Bibles here in Revelation. In Revelation, because we're going to look at what happens here on day number 4 in Revelation. And that is Revelation 11:11. Look at Revelation 11:11. It says, "And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them." Now, what's this talking about? This is saying that something is going to happen on day four after the Lord marches up to Jerusalem, and something is going to happen on day number four. Now, in order to understand that, you have to go back to Revelation chapter 11, and I want you to look what it says in Revelation 11. Look at verse number 3. It says, "And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth." All right? Now, here's the picture. Revelation 11, verses 1 and 2 tell us that the temple is going to be rebuilt in Jerusalem. By the way, watch for that. The temple is going to be rebuilt in Jerusalem. There's going to be some kind of a peace agreement between Israel and her enemies. They're going to be allowed to rebuild their temple, and the head of the European Union, we believe, the revived Roman Empire beast, will be the one that will guarantee them the legal right to do that and the protection that they might have to be able to fulfill that. And they will rebuild their temple. 3.5 years after they rebuild their temple will put us right in the middle of the 7 years, and then the Antichrist, the Jewish Antichrist, will go into the temple, declare himself as being the Christ. He will put an image of the head of the European Union in the temple and tell people they ought to worship that statue, and that will start off a great persecution, because everybody that doesn't worship the beast, the image of the beast, will be put to death, and so there'll be a great persecution. That persecution will go on for three and a half years. All right, from the middle of the 70th week till the end. However, the Lord is going to cut it short so that it will be cut short by the day of the Lord. But I want you to notice here that There are two people that are preaching during this time. There are two people that are going to stand up and they're going to speak against the Antichrist and they're going to speak against the beast and they're going to say the truth of God. And look at verse 3. It says, I will give power unto my two witnesses and they shall prophesy for 1,260 days. That's 3.5 years. Verse 4, these are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. This is mentioned in Zechariah 4:3. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. They have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over the waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. Now, they're going to preach for 3.5 years. It's the second 3.5 years of the 7 years they're going to preach. And the Antichrist and the beast are going to try to kill them. According to this, are they going to be able to kill them?
Yes.
At the end, but not during the time of the 3.5 years. They will kill them at the end. But for 3.5 years, they're going to try to kill them and they can't do it. They can't do it. Why? Well, because fire is going to come out and destroy them. Does anybody remember Elijah when the king of Syria tried to send, or I think it was the king of Israel, tried to send soldiers out to capture Elijah, and God called fire from heaven and burned them up, and another captain came with 50 men, and God called fire from heaven and burned them up. And finally, the third captain came with his 50 soldiers, and he begged Elijah, please, please don't kill me. And Elijah said, okay. God said, you can go with this man, and go to the king. And so God gave Elijah the power to burn people up that try to take him captive. Now, let me ask you this. Did you know the Bible says that Elijah's going to come back? Just like the Lord's going to come back, Elijah's going to come back? Now think about this. How did Elijah die? Who knows how Elijah died? He never died. He went up to heaven in a chariot, and he's coming back. He's coming back. God's going to drop him down there in Israel somehow, and he's going to come back, and he's going to preach for 3.5 years. And anybody try to kill him, he will have fire sent. And he will be able to stop the rain from falling because of people's disobedience. And when the day of the Lord comes and we talk about these judgments that the angels are going to send, Elijah's going to be involved in that. It's kind of like you put an army guy down and they call for missiles to hit a certain area. They're on the ground and they're calling. And Elijah will have that authority from God to call judgments down on the earth. Now there's another man though, and this man also has been involved with plagues. This man also has been a very powerful man. This man did die, but his body was not able to be taken. God took his body. And there was a fight. The devil wanted his body, but the devil couldn't get it. God took his body. And when he died, he was an old man, but the Bible says he was like he was young. He was in good shape. And this man also is going to be back with Elijah. He was with Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus was up there, which pictured the coming kingdom of the Lord. And he was there with Elijah. Does anybody know who this man is? Brother Eddie Brent.
Moses.
Yes, that's Moses. If you're alive when the Lord comes back, you will see Moses. You will see him. If you ever wanted to see Moses, you'll know what he looked like. You'll see him preaching. You'll probably see him on TV, like on a news channel. You'll see Moses and Elijah preaching, and the beast, the head of the European Union, with the Antichrist, the Jewish Antichrist, they will try to kill Moses. They will try to kill Elijah. Good luck. They're not going to be able to do it for 3.5 years. And so now we come to the end of the 7 years. And at the end of the 7 years, their ministry is done. And what's the first thing that the beast does? He kills them. He kills them. He just couldn't wait. I believe he's been trying to kill them every day. Now you say, who is the beast? By the way, the beast is somebody that was in the bottomless pit. I want you to look with me at Revelation chapter 11. And I want you to see this. Go to Revelation and Look at verse 7, Revelation 11:7. It says, Revelation 11:7, it says, "And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them." Now, listen to this. The beast is not Barack Obama. All right? He's going to be from Europe, ahead of Europe. He will be a very charismatic figure and people will listen to him. He will speak and people will listen. But he is from Europe and he's going to be the head of the European Union, the revived Roman Empire. And the Bible says, though, listen to this, he ascends out of the bottomless pit. And we know from the book of Revelation, and we'll study this, and we know from other places that this beast has lived before. And he has been the head of one of seven previous beast empires that have persecuted Israel. Six of them are in the Bible, and one of them came since Israel has been in unbelief and has rejected their Messiah and has been scattered. One of them has been that empire, and that's Nazi Germany. So this beast that comes out of the bottomless pit is a man that will have lived before, and he may be cloned. His soul may go into a clone body of that man that has lived before, and that may be with demon activity. It's strange, but just like Elijah's coming back, and just like Moses is coming back, the beast, the European leader, is a former European leader who's coming back. And we'll study this, but I believe he is Adolf Hitler. And the Jewish people, when they make an agreement with Adolf Hitler, they're not going to know it's Adolf Hitler. They're going to think it's a friend and he's going to help them get peace in the Middle East. And he's going to work with the leader of the Jewish people, the Jewish Antichrist. And they're going to think everything is hunky-dory. But right in the middle of the 7 years, a statue of Adolf Hitler will be put into the temple, and they'll realize who he is. And when they do, they'll run and cry bloody murder because they'll know he's their great enemy. And so what we're saying here is that he is going to try to kill Moses and Elijah. He's going to try to kill them with his armies, but he's not going to be able to do it for 3.5 years. But right when the 7 years is over, then he is going to be able to kill them. And he'll kill them, and the Bible says their bodies will lie right there for everybody to see. In fact, go to Revelation 11 again. And look what it says there in verse 7. "And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit," I believe that's Hitler, "shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified." Now, what city is that? It's called spiritually Sodom, but it's really not Sodom. Brother Denny? It's where our Lord was crucified. And it's spiritually called Sodom and Egypt. Egypt is a representative of the world, by the way, and of a world system that's against God. What city is that? It's Jerusalem. Jerusalem. So God is telling Jerusalem they're not living up to what they should live up to. They're not living up to their reputation. This is what God calls them because they've been so sinful. And then he says, they're lying in the street. Then verse 9, it says, "And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in the graves." So they're killed on the first day after the 7 years, and that's the first day of the 30 days that will take for the Lord to reclaim the earth. They're going to be killed. Remember, the Lord's touching down in Jordan, right when the beast is killing these two prophets. The Lord is coming down, so reinforcements are here. They're down in Jordan. And boom, he lets these guys get killed. Now they're lying there for 3.5 days, right in the street in Jerusalem. And the whole world is able to see them. Now wait a minute, how can the world see two men in Jerusalem? How can the whole world view... But television wasn't existing when the Bible was written. But you're absolutely right, Carl. You're right. It will be television. And that shows us the Word of God is true, because 2,000 years ago, they didn't know about television, did they? But God knew there would be television. I remember television coming up in my lifetime. I remember it. And now I remember when Telstar was the first satellite that allowed you not only to watch TV, but you could see TV across the ocean live because of a satellite. That happened when I was a kid. And what I'm saying to you is that this was all set up by God and predicted by God. And you and I believe, are living in the very end times just before these events are going to be fulfilled. And every day brings us closer. And so the Bible says that God's timing is perfect. Just as Jesus comes back to Jordan to rescue his people, the beast, man, he thinks he's got them now. Boom, he kills them. It's only because God allowed him to kill them. By the way, the devil can't do anything, but God allows it in your life. Devil has power, but God has all power. I'm glad I'm on God's side. I'm on Jesus' side, not on the devil's side, because he's going to lose. And so, these guys, for 3 days, people watch them on TV. And listen, you ever watch, like, when a hurricane happens or something like that, you get glued to the news, and what's going on, you know? Katrina, when Katrina hit, everybody's watching. Even this recent Hurricane Ike, people were watching. People are going to be glued to the television. But you know what? They are going to actually have parties and celebrate. You know, it kind of reminded me of this Hurricane Ike. I was watching the news, and they showed right when the hurricane was coming in, this bar and these people. It was an outdoor bar, and the people were like looking at the Gulf of Mexico, and they were seeing the waves come up, and they had this woman there with a huge bottle that looked like bourbon or something like that, and she had that bottle tipped up. How many saw that? And she was going, drinking that bottle, and they were actually having a party, a hurricane party. And the federal government was saying, either you get out of there or you are going to be a dead body. Write down your social security number on your arm with magic marker, because we, you know, going to have to pick up your body. And these people having a party. They weren't worried about it. You know, it kind of reminds me of the foolishness. These people have gone through the day of the Lord, fiery judgments. They've survived all that. They've seen worse than hurricanes. And now, finally, they see the beast kill these two guys, and they say, hey, we won! Our man has won! Our man has won! No, their man hasn't won. By the way, when Adolf Hitler died, his valet said to him, what do we do now that you're going to shoot yourself? What do we do now? And Hitler said, look for the coming man. Look for the coming man. And so the beast is going to think he's destroyed and he's defeated Elijah and Moses and the forces of God. Little does he know that the Lord has appeared on earth, and he's going to take 30 days to reclaim the earth. And after 3.5 days, that means on the fourth day, the Lord is going to be there in Jerusalem. We know he's going to be there on the third day because the people get saved. But on the fourth day, I believe it's going to be the Lord that's going to breathe life back into their bodies. In other words, people watching on TV are going to see the Lord go up and go on their bodies, and they're going to stand up and they're going to ascend back into heaven. Can you imagine that? The shock. The shock. But that's what's going to happen. And Moses and Elijah are going to go back up into heaven. And that will be on the fourth day. All right. Now, right after that happens, the Lord is going to leave. And we know from Revelation that he takes the 144,000 and he marches up to the Temple Mount. He marches up to Mount Zion. And he's going up there. The 144,000 are following him up there. Okay. Now, right after on day four, these guys are raised from the dead. There's going to be a big earthquake in Jerusalem. 7,000 people are going to die. And the Lord then appears on day five on Mount Zion. Now go with me to Revelation 11, verse 14. That's where we are right now. And look what it says there. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh. This is on day five after the 30 days. The Lord is now going up on Mount Zion with his people. The second woe is past. Now, by the way, remember the seven trumpet judgments we talked about? The seven trumpet judgments? The fifth trumpet judgment is called the first woe because it's a real bad one. That's when the demons are let out of hell. That's the first woe. The second woe, remember, is the sixth trumpet, and that is in Revelation 9, and that is when those angels that are under the Euphrates River are let out and they lead a 200 million fallen angel army to destroy one third of mankind. The second woe then has all of that happening, and after the aftermath of that is all of these things that are happening, and now the second woe is really done. All the aftermath of that second woe is done, and boy, you can see why it's called a woe. That's the sixth trumpet judgment. That's horrible. Now the seventh trumpet has not sounded yet. And what day are we into of the 30 days here when we come to this point and the Lord is on Mount Zion? It's day five. It's day five. On day four, remember, Moses and Elijah were raised from the dead. Day three, the Jews got saved. Day one and two, the Lord's marching up from Jordan up to Jerusalem. All of this is on schedule. God's got it on schedule. And the amazing thing is that God's able to show these things to us. And through Bible teachers and studying the Bible, these things can be laid out. You know what this ought to make you think? You know what? God's got a plan. And he's got a plan for my life, and I better stay on schedule with his plan every day. Don't backslide. Don't get away from God, because every day is important with God. Every day that you live your life. And if you're serving God, it's all part of his plan. It's going to come together for good. All right. And so the Bible says right here, as you look at this on day number five, it says that there's going to be this there's going to be this second woe. Verse 14, 11, 14. The second woe is passed. And now look at verse 15. It says, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. All right, now, the seventh trumpet is going to sound on top of Mount Zion. Christ is up there, and who's with him on top of Mount Zion? Somebody, raise your hand if you know. Who's with Christ on top of Mount Zion on day five, and the seventh trumpet is going to sound, but who followed him up there? Brother Eddie?
The Jewish
remnant, the 144,000 that are the Jewish remnant, they're going to follow him up there. The trumpet is going to sound on day number five. All right? Now, when that happens, the Bible says that the 24 elders in heaven are going to fall on their faces, Revelation 11, 16. And all of that's going to happen. Now, here's something very important. When that happens, the Lord knows that he is going to pour out his final judgments, because that seventh trumpet contains seven somethings. Just like the seventh seal contained the seven trumpet judgments when the seventh seal was opened. Remember, then all the wrath of God for the big scroll was opened up. That's when all the trumpet judgments. Now we've had six trumpet judgments. Now here's the seventh trumpet being blown. That unleashes seven final judgments in very rapid succession. The seven trumpet judgments fell on one third of the earth. I believe that's mostly on the beast kingdom, which is around the Mediterranean basin. But now these last seven judgments are going to be worldwide. They're going to be very rapid, and they're going to destroy the earth and prepare it for the millennium. What are those seven judgments that are opened up when the seventh trumpet is blown? Denny? The seven bowl judgments. And they're just like a shallow bowl that you wash your hands in after you've eaten greasy food, and then you dump it out real quick, and it's just going to fly out all over the earth. And so that's going to happen. By the way, that will happen from day six after the Lord has touched down through day 30. All right, day six through day 30. We've come up to day five. Now we're at day six. And at day six, the Lord is getting ready to carry out these bowl judgments. But he's got to do something before he pours out these judgments. He's got to protect the Jewish remnant that just got saved. And so how does he protect them? All right, here's what he does. He goes up on Mount Olives. And when he touches on Mount Olives, something is going to happen. Now go to Zechariah chapter 14 real quickly. Zechariah chapter 14. We want to just finish right here. Zechariah 14. I don't want you to miss this. And look at verse 2, Zechariah 14. He says, "For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from that day." Now, it's interesting. This is not the Battle of Armageddon. This is a war against Jerusalem. When the world hears that, the surrounding people hear that the Lord has come back to Jerusalem, believe it or not, they're going to attack Jerusalem. Now, where's the Lord? He's up on Mount Zion. But they're going to attack Jerusalem, and this battle will take place. But the Lord is going to do something to protect the Jewish remnant that are left. And look what it says in verse 3. It says, "Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south, and ye shall flee," look at this, look at verse 5, "and ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountain shall reach unto Azel, yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and the Lord my God shall come and all the saints with thee." Now what's going to happen here? This is day 6. There's a battle and attack in Jerusalem. The Lord comes down off of Zion to defend Jerusalem. He stands on the Mount of Olives. It splits in half, and there's a valley created, and there's a place called Azel that's never mentioned in any of the maps of the Holy Land, but it's a place when this valley splits in half, when this mountain splits in half and creates a valley, that all these people, the one-third of the Jewish nation that were saved, will run in there, and the Lord will hide them in there. Why do you think the Lord's going to hide them in there? Why will the Lord hide them in? This is day 6. By the way, on day number 30 is going to be the Battle of Armageddon, when the Lord comes back out of heaven to destroy the armies of the beast and the Antichrist. But between day 6 and day 30, they're hiding in there. Why are they hiding in there? What is happening between day 6 and day 30 that he needs to hide them in there? Well, we just mentioned it. After the seventh trumpet is blown, what's going to happen on the earth? Marian?
Well, the Lord is going to fight against the nations, and then to me it sounds like there's going to be an earthquake.
Well, the Lord fighting against the nations is just those that are attacking Jerusalem at that point in time. That's on day 6. And that's when he hides the remnant. But between day 6 and day 30, what's going to happen, Eddie?
The bowl judgment will be fired all over the world.
He got it. The bowl judgments will be fired out all over the world. And if they were not hidden, many of them, most all of them, would be killed. So they're hidden in there. Now, at that point, somewhere after day 6 or on day 6, between that and 30, we know the Lord goes back up to heaven. And we're out of time, but next week we're going to talk about what happens in heaven between day 6 and the Battle of Armageddon. And it involves you and I. And we'll look at that next week.